Luke chapter 2, and we're going to begin in verse number 8 of our scripture reading, and we're going to read down through verse number 20. Follow with me as I read this morning. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. This morning I want you to follow the pattern of praise from the angel of the Lord to the angels of the Lord to the shepherds who followed the Lord, and let's see praise all throughout the Christmas story. Let's pray together. Father, bless the reading of your word, and may we understand biblical praise and the response to that praise. And Lord, we'll thank you for this time to open the word of God. And I pray if there's anyone here that is not sure that they are saved and on their way to heaven, that today the word Savior would really mean something to them, and that they would open their heart to you. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, one of the most distinctive parts of the Christmas season is music, and we often hear songs of praise, maybe even in the shopping malls sometimes. We'll hear the words of Jesus Christ has come, and perhaps on the radio. And when you hear these songs, you know that it is now the most wonderful time of the year. It's a time of celebration. It's a time of praise. And the songs are intended. In fact, music was intended to give worship and honor and praise to God. And we know that there is a godly music that brings honor and glory to Him. And certainly we've heard some of that right here this morning. I want you to see with me the context of this time of praise in Luke's gospel. You're going to notice this morning that our story is taking us, of course, to Bethlehem, and we're going to come to those Judean mountainsides or hillsides where the manger would have been nearby these hills in the city or the town of Bethlehem. These are rock terraced mountains. I took this picture, in fact, probably about 2 miles from Bethlehem. A lot of sheep would be kept in the lower portions and then led out into the valleys for their feeding. And so it was that Bethlehem was a sheep feeding area, a place where many shepherds would come, no doubt, for supplies, about 6 miles south of Jerusalem. And it was in this place, the city of David, where Jesus was born. Bethlehem means house of bread. Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus Christ provides the source of salvation for all who believe. It had been a quiet night, no doubt, for the shepherds, like any other night, out in the wilderness, watching the sheep. But suddenly, the Bible tells us, there was an angel that came with the amazing news that Messiah had been born. And that produced an amazing amount of praise and worship in the heavenlies, for Jesus Christ had come. This morning, I want you to learn more about the subject of praise and about the praise of that first Christmas morning. And I want you to see with me, first of all today, the reason for the praise. The reason for the praise. Why was there such a mighty chorus singing out to the Lord as we read in verse 13? Why was the angel of the Lord suddenly accompanied by a multitude of the heavenly hosts? Well, I want you to notice the real reason they worshiped and the real reason that we worship and praise the Lord is, first of all, we give praise to Him for His deliverance from sin. And I want you to see what the Bible says in verse number 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but I like the word Savior. Let's say that together. Savior. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Jesus Christ is the Savior. And here we see that the Savior has come and has provided for us a good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Henry Ironside, who was a pastor in Chicago area years ago, said, there are good tidings of great joy for all people, not a limited number, but for all people. All men everywhere are invited to put their trust in the Savior whom God has sent into the world. Now, may I just quickly say, every man needs a Savior because all men are sinners. All men fall short of the glory of God. None of us are perfect. And so God knows our need better than we know our need. If our greatest need had been education, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need would have been financial, God would have sent an economist. If our greatest need would have been military, God would have sent perhaps a general. But our greatest need was salvation. And that's why God sent a Savior, to deliver us from the penalty of our sin. And Jesus Christ came and was born to die for the sins of the entire world. Now, I want you to notice that this deliverance is a personal gift to all who will believe. In fact, notice what the Bible says unto the shepherds. It says in verse 11, for unto you is born this day. Unto you is born this day. We could say this morning, unto David and Michael and Jerry and Joe and Susie and Sally and every name here, unto you has been born a personal Savior whose name is Jesus Christ. Now, the angel could have come to the popular, to the royal, to those in elected positions, but the angel did not come to the royalty of the day to bring this news. Isn't it amazing? The first recipients of the news of Jesus Christ were common working men with calluses on their hands who built fences out of rocks and who mended and took care of flocks of sheep. And I share that with you this morning to remind you, no matter what your status is in this life, no matter how highly educated or whether you've ever had any education, God loves you, and unto you a child is born, and for you a Savior has come. This is not for some intellectual elitist crowd. This matter of salvation is for everyone born into this world who will but turn to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith, believing. The Bible tells us that God promised Abraham that through his line he would provide salvation and he would bless the entire world. Genesis 12 and 3, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. From the line of Abraham, from the line of David, coming to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, who was of the house and lineage of David, God promised to bless the entire world. Romans 10, 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so we see that Christ came to bring salvation to the world. Pastor Truett, the famous pastor of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, back in the 1940s, once said, Christ was born in the first century, yet he belongs to all centuries. He was born a Jew, yet he belongs to all races. He was born in Bethlehem, yet he belongs to all countries. And so Jesus Christ came as a personal gift to every man, woman, boy, and girl who would trust him. And his gift was promised to us and foretold to us in the scriptures. The Bible tells us, unto you is born this day in the city of David. And when you read back hundreds of years prior in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, you'll find that God had prophesied in Micah, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephrata, though thou be little amongst the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. God said, I'm going to bring someone to this world whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Does that not sound like John 1:1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God said, I will bring my eternal Son into this world in a little place called Bethlehem. So what we're reading and preaching about this morning was not the accidental happenstance of Mary and Joseph. It was the divine appointment of God in the life of Mary and Joseph. And I believe today that God has all of us here by His divine appointment. He is a sovereign God. He has you, sir, and you, ma'am, in this auditorium hearing about His Son with a divine purpose in mind. And God promised that it would take place in Bethlehem. And God promised that it would take place for the purpose of the salvation of this world. Notice that in verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. A Savior. Romans 5 and 9. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. That's in your notes if you want to look at it. Notice that, Romans 5, 9. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you saved? Think of this. Jesus is the Savior. Are you saved? And the Bible says if we're saved, we are saved from wrath. Someone says, what am I saved from? You are saved from the wrath of God. My friend, if there is not a heaven and if there is not a hell, then I should resign this pulpit today and go find some other way to live my life. But if there is a heaven and if there is a hell, then I want to spend my life proclaiming the good news that Jesus saves men from wrath and from hell, and He will give them an eternal home in heaven. And the Bible says that you can be saved from the wrath through Him. But there is only one way that we are saved, and that is by the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ. This baby that was born in the manger lived his perfectly sinless life and then shed His blood on the cross that we might be saved from wrath through Him. Though we were enemies with God, yet we can be reconciled to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And all men are enemies with God. All men have fallen short of the glory of God. But God wants to reconcile men to Him. God would reconcile you today. God wants fellowship with you today, and that is made possible through Jesus Christ, His Son. Oh, you see, the need for salvation is so great today because all of us are sinners who fall short of the glory of God. I heard of a little boy that was at the shopping mall, and like many other children, he went up to the Santa Claus figure, and he wanted to give his request for some presents. And he began his request, and he said to Santa Claus, I want a train set, I want a cowboy set. He said, I want to have a sled, I want to have a bicycle, and I want to have a pair of ice skates. And Santa Claus said, that's quite a big list. I'm going to have to check my list to see if you have been naughty or nice. And the little boy said, oh, Santa Claus, forget it. I'll just take the ice skates. How many of you would have to say, if getting into heaven depended upon you being more nice and your good works, it might be a little iffy whether you'd get to heaven. But it's not up to you whether you get to heaven. It's because of Jesus shedding His blood that you get to heaven. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for our sin. None of us are worthy of heaven, but the worthy Lamb of God shed His blood on the cross that we might have access to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not have access to the Father through a church or through the baptistry or through ourselves, but we have access to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior who brings us to the Father. And so we give praise this morning for the deliverance of Jesus Christ. And then notice secondly, they gave praise for the deity of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. And then notice the last part of that verse, which is Christ the Lord. Let's say that together. Which is Christ the Lord. So who is the Savior? Is it Buddha? Is it Mohammed? Is it some guy maybe out on the ocean side just talking about religious stuff? Who is the Savior? And the Bible says the Savior is Christ the Lord. You better make sure you're trusting in the right Savior, my friend. You better make sure you're not trusting in alcohol. Make sure you're not trusting in drugs. Make sure you're not trusting just in religion. Make sure you're not trusting in yourself. You better make sure that you are trusting in the right Savior. And the right Savior is Christ the Lord. And the Bible tells us that the word Christ is the Messiah, meaning the anointed one. And the word Lord means the master of the universe or the master of this world. When Saul was on his way to Damascus, Syria, and when he was struck by a light that shone down from heaven, he did not question the personality nor the attributes of Jesus Christ. In fact, in Acts 9 and 5, he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told what thou must do." You see, Saul did not question that Jesus Christ was Lord, that he was the anointed Messiah and the ruler of the world. By the way, how many of you believe that Jesus is Lord? May I see your hands? And may I ask you, is he the Lord of your life? It's one thing to believe that he is Lord in the abstract. It's another thing to believe it personally. Amen. He is Christ the Lord, and he has come to redeem the world from its sin. The reason for this praise that we read about is the fact that Jesus Christ the Lord has come to save us from our sin. And what a joy to know that he's our Savior. And I trust that you know him as your Savior today. That he is not just a religious icon, but that he is your personal Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We see the reason for the praise. But notice secondly this morning, if you're following in the notes, the response of praise. I think this is somewhat of a blessing, at least to me, and I hope it might be to you. You see, the Bible tells us in verse 9, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. But in verse 13, it says, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying. I believe the response of one man's praise, or in this case, one angel's praise, is that there will be others who will begin to praise. I see a man here or an angel here who is giving the good news of praise concerning Christ the Lord, but suddenly there was with that angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And I believe the response of praise is more praise. And I believe that if we were to have in our homes perhaps children who would sing Christmas carols or perhaps have a sweet spirit, it might catch and that might be prevalent in the family. Or a father who praises and has the joy of the Lord, it might sweep into the home. Or a wife who has the joy of the Lord and praises God. And I believe that God inhabits the praise of his people and that he is looking for us to praise. And the result is that others will praise and others will give thanks to the Lord. And if you will, a spiritual momentum is building in this chapter, and it began with the good news of praise from the angel. You see, the Bible tells us the angel's job was to praise the Lord. Hebrews 1 and verse 6, "And again, when he bringeth into the first begotten into the world, he saith, let all the angels of God worship him." Psalm 148 and 2, "Praise ye him, all ye his angels, praise ye him, all his hosts." In Revelation 5, and verse 12, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." You see, the angels' responsibility was to praise. And as they praised, we see more and more praise developing in this passage. And I just believe this. If you will keep the focus on Jesus Christ the Lord this Christmas, you will have always something to praise about. If you will maintain that focus despite challenges with health or challenges with work, if you will maintain the focus that unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, you will move from praise to praise for the Lord. I heard about a little girl at Christmas morning who was asked by her family, "Did you get everything you wanted for Christmas?" And she thought about that for a moment, and then she said, "No, but then again, it wasn't my birthday." You see, if you'll remember whose birthday this is, There's always something to give praise for. It's the birthday of the king. Now notice they gave praise, first of all, for the glory of God. For the glory of God. Glory to God, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest. And here we see the word glory, which is the word doxa. Sometimes we sing the doxology, which is to give glory to God at the end of a service. And the angels are singing, giving praise to God for his glory. Let me tell you about the glory of God. The Bible speaks of it in Hebrews 1 and verse 3, speaking of Jesus Christ, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. My friend, Jesus Christ is the express image of the glory of God. He is God manifest in the flesh. He is 100% man and 100% God. Jesus Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And the reason the angels were giving glory to God is because now God had come down to dwell with us. And Jesus Christ, the God-man, was in our midst, in this world, in Bethlehem's manger. And so they sang glory to God in the highest, or as it is written in the Latin, in excelsis Deo, gloria in excelsis Deo. Why? Because God became man and dwelt among us. They praised God for his glory. Secondly, they praised God for his goodness. You see, it's one thing to think of God high and lifted up, and he is worthy of glory for his position and his place. But notice what else the verse says in 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Peace, tranquility. Some men find peace only when they smoke marijuana. Others only when they drink alcohol. Others only with illicit pleasure. But God says, I've come to give you a peace that is so far beyond the sin of this world. I've come to give you a peace that is personal. It is the peace in knowing that your sins are forgiven and knowing that you have a home in heaven. And God came to give peace on this earth, and he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And yet the Bible says he's coming again. And the second coming of Jesus Christ will not be in a manger, but his vesture will be dipped in blood, and he will come in judgment, and he will bring peace. And the Bible says the lion will lay down with the lamb. And we look forward to that day of coming peace. But until then, even in this wicked world, you can have peace with God. You can know that your sins are forgiven. You can know that everything's right with you and the Lord. I don't know how it is in your marriage, but I don't like it when things aren't right with Terry and I. If there's not peace between us, if I've done something maybe that hurt her feelings or done something stupid, how many of you men are like me? You can do things stupid without even thinking about it. You just do stupid things. Come on, the rest of you men, raise your hand. I'm going to stop this service right here. If I don't get some honesty in this room. We can just do dumb things. And sometimes when I do dumb things, Terry will, I can just see her countenance fall. And maybe I forgot something like a birthday, or maybe I forgot something like a special thing. Boy, when it's like that, I tell you what, I want to do everything I can to make peace. Now, I sometimes that's a pretty heavy price, I'll admit that. But I want to make peace. But listen, my friend, my sin grieves God. And there's only one way to have peace with God. And that's by receiving his son, Jesus, as my Savior. That's by having the forgiveness that Jesus provides for my life. And the Bible says he came to bring peace on earth. Peace in my heart and your heart. But then notice what else it says. Not only peace on earth, but the Bible says goodwill toward men. Goodwill toward men. What a wonderful God. You see, God is a God of righteousness. And I want you to try to understand something. God is a God of righteousness, thus he hates sin. God hates the sin of lust or covetousness or envy, and God hates the sin of pride. And you can name whatever sin you want to name. Someone says, well, I think homosexuality is a terrible sin, or I think drugs are terrible sin. You can make whatever you want to make on that list, but I want to tell you this. Even though God hates sin, listen to me, God loves the sinner. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done as you step into this room, I want you to know this morning. God loves you. And the Bible says, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Let me tell you God's heart towards you. God has a heart of goodwill toward you. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish. God does not want you to spend eternity in hell. God says, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God says, if you'll just turn to my son, you won't have to perish. You can have everlasting life, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Look at the verse there in 1 John 4:9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. God says, I don't want you to die. I want you to live forever. But that's not going to happen without my Son. Look right here. There's only one who conquered death and the grave, and his name is Jesus Christ. There's only one empty tomb, and that empty tomb is just outside the city of Jerusalem. And unlike the tomb that is in Mecca filled with bones, there is a tomb outside the city of Jerusalem. And there are no bones in that tomb, because Jesus Christ, literally, physically, and bodily, resurrected from that tomb. And he is seated at the right hand of God the Father this morning.
Amen.
Make sure you put your faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. He is God's goodwill to you, God's forgiveness for you. So the reason for our praise is that unto us a Savior has been born, and the response of praise is more praise. More praise is given. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. But notice finally this morning, the result of this praise. The result of this praise. Now, praise and worship is not merely song and emotion, it also is indeed as well. In other words, real praise and worship will change your life. Real praise and worship will bring you closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. For example, notice the result of this praise in the life of the shepherds. First of all, they had a desire to go and see the Lord Jesus Christ. They wanted to go and see him. Notice, if you would, in verse 15, it says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." You see, after they heard this praise, their response was not to just go back to work. Their response was, let us now go. They left immediately. They left their flocks. They said, we've got to go find the Lord Jesus Christ. May I say to you this morning that when the choir sings and the orchestra sings and these special groups sing, that if their ministry of praise and worship is effective, then we should have hearts wide open this morning to say, what else can I learn about Jesus? I've got to know more about Jesus. I want to get to the feet of Jesus. And what I'm saying to you this morning is that when the shepherds heard the praise and worship of the angels, the overwhelming desire in their heart was not just to tap their foot, like, good song, dude, that's great, like the Doobie Brothers, man. They're not here to entertain us. They're here to get us closer to Jesus.
Amen.
And when praise and worship is effective and honoring to the Lord, then that prepares us for the preaching of the word. And when the music is effective, as it was with the angels singing, then the shepherd said, man, we have got to get to Jesus Christ. We've got to know what Jesus Christ, where he is. And the Bible says in Isaiah 55 and verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Listen, my friend, here was the shepherd's heart. We've heard that the Messiah has come. The anointed one is here. We have got to find him. And it's my prayer this morning that from your heart, there's a desire that says, I don't want to just have a little entertainment on Sunday, but I want what happens in my heart on Sunday to cause me to pursue a walk with Christ every day of the week. I believe that real worship causes us to live differently, not just for a 40-minute session on Sunday, but all week long. And America is filled with churches that have a little worship on Sunday, so-called, but there's no worship on Monday or Tuesday. And I'm saying these men were seeking the Lord with their life. They left immediately. They looked intentionally. Look at verse 15. Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. I want you to get in your mind that the shepherds, when they heard this worship and this praise about Jesus Christ, they said, we have got to see him. We have got to find the Lord Jesus Christ. And wouldn't it be wonderful if your friends came to Lancaster Baptist Church, people who didn't know the Lord, and they sat by you and they saw you singing a wonderful grace of Jesus and maybe a tear coming down your eye and just focusing on Jesus Christ. And they looked at you and said, I don't know what this guy has, but it's real to him. And it's something that I don't have. And like the shepherds, they would say, I want to find this for myself. The shepherd said, I've got to go and see this. It's like the fellow that walked out of his front door the other day and put on a football helmet. His neighbor came up to him and said, I didn't know you were a football player. He said, I'm not. I'm going Christmas shopping. How many of you know you got to get serious about Christmas shopping? You got to have a certain attitude to get out there and get all that done. Well, I'm telling you, the shepherds had a certain attitude. They had determined that they were going to find the Lord Jesus Christ. They had to go and see him. And then notice, secondly, not only did they go and see him with haste, but then they had to go and tell somebody about him. The Bible tells us in verse 17, and when they had seen it, notice verse 16, they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. You see, if you know Jesus, if you truly know that you're saved and on your way to heaven, you cannot have any kind of a relationship for any length of time without telling somebody about Jesus Christ. And my friends, I believe that we need to leave this place seeking the Lord more personally and sharing the Lord more lovingly. Telling others about Jesus. Notice it says they made known abroad, verse 17. That means they preached and they told everyone, we found the Messiah. We saw Christ the Lord and he's here and he's our Savior. I want you to take out of your bulletin this morning this little flyer I have here called Merry Christmas. I want to just talk with you about it for just a quick moment. Just says Merry Christmas from Lancaster Baptist Church. You see, all of us are going to sometime or another be out in the public this week. You're going to be with friends tomorrow. Some of you men, no doubt, after the Christmas Eve service this Saturday night, I'll see you at Walmart right after that service. It happens every year. Just getting around to your shopping. But could I challenge you that as you're out and about this week, maybe just take just this one. Just think, if everybody in this room would pass the gospel to one person, on the back of this is God's plan of salvation, the Savior. It might be this quick. Hey, let me give you some good news about the meaning of Christmas. It might be that quick. That's it. They might talk a little bit more. You might invite them to the Christmas service. It might be that someone gets saved and actually lets you talk to them for a length of time. But I'm telling you that when you, in your heart, experience the worship and the magnitude and the majesty of who Jesus is and what he did for you, you cannot keep it to yourself. And I'm just saying, if somebody can get excited about the Rams or the Lakers or where they went to college, it's high time that Christians would say, you know what? I've got something wonderful to share. I'm going to share the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And take that and share what God has done with you. Just the truth of Christmas. The shepherd said, I've got to go and see. And when they did, and when their heart was changed because of the presence of Jesus Christ, then they had to go and tell someone else about the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice in verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them. Now look right here, and we're almost done. Life goes by. And many of you have been saved for a few years. And you remember what it was like when you were first saved, maybe in Sunday school, and the joy of the meaning of Christmas and knowing the Lord. And some of you young people went to Christian school, and you were taught concerning Christ, and it was exciting, and maybe you even sang about it. But life goes on. We go to school. We get jobs. We get busy, we get sick, we get in debt, things get crazy, and if we're not careful, the glory and majesty of what God has done just becomes something that's kind of, it's a part of who we are, but it's not really all of who we are. And this would be a really great Sunday morning for some of you to say, I'm going to push aside a lot of that other stuff because I need to go and see Jesus, and I know people that need to know him, And when I come to the end of this life, it's not going to matter how much I have or how much is in my bank account or how many jobs I had. What's going to matter is that I lived my life for Jesus Christ. Do you understand that when the shepherds realized Jesus was in Bethlehem, suddenly their business didn't matter that much? The price of lamb wasn't a big thing to them at that moment, but getting to Jesus was all that mattered. I don't know what your schedule holds this week. If your schedule's like mine, it's crazy. But can I just encourage you, whether it's early in the morning or late at night, get to Jesus this week. Focus on Him. Rededicate your life like a child at camp when you were a junior in camp. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, listen to this verse, follow God as dear children. How many moms are here? Let me see where the moms are. Raise your hands, moms. Okay. How many of you have ever watched a little child when they first realize what Jesus did for them and they tell you about it? Isn't that awesome? Or they sing their first song from Sunday school. God says to all of us, I want you to follow me like that little child follows me. Have that tender heart to follow me. That's the heart of the shepherds. And here are, as we close this out this morning, here are these shepherds, verse 20, glorifying God and praising God. I don't know what they were singing, but as they're going back to their workplace, they might have been singing, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. I don't know what they were singing, but they were glorifying God and praising God for all that He had done for them. So there's four things that I want you to be sure of this morning before we're done. They're in your notes, just four things I want you to think about, and then we'll go, all right? Single adult, notice this in your outline. Moms and dads, notice this in your outline. Four truths. First, be sure to praise God for His glory and goodness this week. Don't let praise be something that happens Sunday morning at 11. You give thanks to God for what He's done for you. Number two, be sure to seek Him daily. As the shepherds, let us go now, even unto Bethlehem, and see this. Let's seek Him. Be sure that you seek Him this week. Thirdly, be sure to tell somebody else that He has come. Let somebody else know that He has come. And then finally, let me say this. Make sure that He is your personal Savior. I talked about that earlier. All have sinned. Jesus is the Savior. Unto you is born this day a Savior. Is He your Savior? Is He your personal Savior? You say, well, He's my friend's Savior. He's my wife's Savior. Is He your Savior? And if He isn't, today could be the day when you receive Him as your personal Savior.